It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brought us gifts, too. Phil t-shirts.
I'm liking these shirts, man. Carlo Colaiacovo's in here, and you brought us Phil Kessel t-shirts.
Yeah, I heard you guys are big fans, and they look great on you guys.
Do I look fit?
Very, very. White makes you look fit.
That's the worst thing.
I think you can substitute one letter in there.
We're on TV, too, and we're both wearing these shirts.
Love it. I look like a fat tub of garbage. Did you see me when I first came out of that changing room? I had to ask Carlo if this is a boy small instead of an XL.
Why are you wearing yours, man? Or was that for Noodles?
That was for Noodles. I could wear it if you guys want.
Put it on, man. Yeah, you're in better shape than the two of us, so
I'll fit the bill.
You'll fit into an XL, no problem. We got to try to. Well, we don't want to throw your career out of whack. Like, you're still playing, but we got all this food here today. Oh, dog, you and I, we've been eating courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. We ate way too much. Like, we talk all this smack. We were taking runs at Levine and Scotty Mack.
We're disgusting, too.
Absolutely despicable pigs. Did you eat at all when you were in here? Like, are you on, like, a regimen right now, making sure that you eat clean? And
yeah, I mean, usually when the season's over at any time, I take a month to 6 weeks and splurge, and then you get back on the regimen and I saw what you guys had today. It was enticing. I might dig at it on my way home.
On your way out?
Yeah.
The old drive and eat?
The old drive and eat. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that on the way in, too.
It's a tough move.
The nugs. The nugs.
A dip, a nug dip? Very few can do a nug dip at 125.
That's what I'm saying. I've never heard of it before. Like, you were calling me a liar. I'm telling you, I've never tried dipping a nugget while driving.
Really?
I don't think I've tried it.
You should try.
You just got to find a little area in your truck where it's like, there's different little ledges and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just put the little sauce.
Are you a Simpsons fan? Not
it's
really.
Been a while.
Okay, anyway, remember when Homer was allowed to build his own car? And he had, like, different... Anyway, I'm not going to get into it, but that's kind of what it sounds like. If the O-Duck could build his own car, it would just be, like, nugget dispensers and places to put his different sauces.
Sounds like it.
And his drinks.
Food is a big, big priority placement in your car.
Exactly. But he and I both agree. We don't see you ever putting on weight. Like, you're just naturally in good shape.
You think you're going to get fat when you retire?
I hope not. I don't want to be one of those people.
Is it possible, though? One of those people? Yeah.
If you see my twin brother, it's very possible.
I haven't seen Paulo in a while.
Yeah.
He's a moose now?
Yeah. Well, he's bigger than me.
He was always bigger than you.
It's funny though, like I hear some of the comments that he gets, like when he's in public and people think that he's me and they're like, man,
look at that Colaiacovo.
That guy's still playing.
You're still playing? Well, you haven't worked out in a while, haven't you? So
see that I hate working out. I acknowledged this earlier this afternoon. I joined a gym and I've been back for the first time in like years.
Yeah.
Just this week I've gone like three times. I hate it. I really hate working out. Like,
why?
I really, really despise it. It's the worst thing.
Why? And
I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
I'm naturally lazy, I guess, first and foremost. But I find I get there, I just end up sitting on Twitter and Instagram anyway, ride the bike a little bit.
You're a social butterfly.
More or less.
Yeah.
Are you that guy that takes, like, 7 minutes between every set?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets to the point where it's like, why am I even here?
I understand that a gym could be boring at sometimes. I think you don't have to be a gym junkie to stay in shape. I mean, just keep yourself busy.
But do you think you would go to the gym if you weren't playing?
Eat better.
Do you think you'd go to the gym if you didn't play hockey?
No. No.
Do you think you'll go to the gym when you're done playing hockey?
No.
Like, isn't that the worst part of it?
Yeah, big time.
It sucks.
Because your body is so used to, like...
If you look at, though, what they're doing these days...
Yeah, it's hard. Tough.
Why? What's so different between now and 20 years ago?
I just think that the summers are so important. If you look at a schedule from an NHL team, even during the playoffs, right, they don't practice that much.
No.
So it's on the player, the athlete, to get the work done in the summertime. So then you can handle that. You can just not practice, and that's where you get your work done, man.
I think it's where people lose focus too. Is that people look at hockey players as like athletes that just play hockey. Well, it's a 365 day a year job now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're basically fighting for your job in the summertime, because if you don't show up to camp in shape, the young guy who is in shape is going to take your job. And you know, there's so much importance on it now to be in shape.
What do you think about that Pittsburgh decor? Like, can they?
It makes my blood boil sometimes. I look at that decor, I'm like, those guys are playing the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm sitting here on the couch. Like, it's patchwork.
They're in trouble, I think. Yeah. I don't know, because when Ottawa gets it going offensively, they're tough to handle, and they couldn't handle it. It was only 13 minutes the other night, but they couldn't handle it.
I didn't watch much of that game. You were there, but just from watching that series, with the talent that Pittsburgh has up front, if you can't get those guys the puck, you ain't winning.
No.
And
it was like that last year, Carl, at the beginning of the season. That's when all the problems were starting, and that's all we talked about. Look at this decor. They can't get on the puck.
Yeah.
But then they won a Stanley Cup. That's the thing. Like, they didn't make that many moves. They brought in Daly, but...
Yeah, but do you see some of their plays that they do? They just go back and, like, flip it up into the center ice and let their forwards skate into it. I mean, does that take a lot of skill? I don't think so. And when you're playing with the lead most of the time that they have been, it's not hard hockey to play. You tell your D-man to go back and just flip it out, right?
Well, you look at Ottawa, Nashville, and Anaheim. They're built from the back up, right? Yeah. Like, that's the one thing Burke always said. Brian Burke, when he first got here, he's like, you got to build from the back up. You got to try to get your goaltender. Then you get your top four defensemen or top six if you're lucky, and then you keep moving up. And I think this is evidence of exactly why that is so important. I mean, Anaheim and Nashville are stacked on the back end.
Yeah, you know what? That's been a fun series to watch. You know, you look at the guys that can go back and get the puck and move it and skate with it, and you're constantly seeing offense created from the back end. And as a fan of hockey, I mean, do you enjoy watching that?
I enjoy a defenseman that can put one tape to tape as opposed to most of you idiots that all you do is rip it off the glass and you think you're doing your job.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's why I like going back, getting the puck, and making plays with it. I mean,
hey,
perfect example, last night's game, minute left, Manson gets the puck behind the net and throws it down the ice for icing when he could have taken one more step and made a play with it. Next play, faceoff, they win the puck, tie game. I mean,
he had space there too.
Oh, 100% he
did. He had space.
100% he did. And for me, when I look at a defenseman, I want a guy who shows me puck poise, goes back, has the confidence to hold a puck and make a play with the puck. Mm-hmm. Guy that goes back and just puts his head down and rims it, I don't see any value in that.
I do think that is where the game is changing.
Yeah.
The game is changing a lot in that direction.
Yeah.
Like puck possession and the idea of having defensemen that make
plays. Yeah, like when I first started playing in the NHL, there was never that much talk about zone entries.
No.
Analytics. Dump it in and go get it. Kill that guy.
Analytics. Remember Pat Quinn was our coach?
Oh, my God. He called the video machine a jukebox.
Did he even coach or did he just call out the lines?
He did his job.
Yeah, he did his job.
And we loved it.
He took runs at refs, and he made sure the right line was on the ice.
Yeah.
God, did he hate refs.
That's the truth, though, right? Like, it really, and that's why, like, Babcock and Lamorello were in the building last night.
Yeah.
A lot of Leaf fans are focused on that for obvious reasons, and the belief is maybe one of those Anaheim defensemen will come up.
Yeah.
And I think it was Craig, maybe, that was talking about this the other day, that it could be Sammy Vatanen, which is a guy that most people weren't expecting to be available, and who knows if that will actually come to fruition.
Yeah.
But he's not a big guy. He's not a tough guy, but he can skate. He can move. He can move the puck.
Just rifle it from the
and
point, too.
He makes plays.
He makes plays. Yeah. And then if, let's say, the Leafs acquired him, and your top four is Gardner, Vatanen, Zaitsev, Riley. None of them are overly physical.
I was just going to say, you better get some kind of, like, I love that Manson kid in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Because he did make the bonehead play that you were talking about. But he can make a
good
play.
He can make a play. Yeah. He can make a play.
And he has that physical element. If you don't have somebody that puts a little bit of fear. And I go back to New Jersey's defense back in the day, and it was Scott Stevens, Scott Niedermeyer, Brofalski, Kenny Danico. They all had their different ways of being effective.
Yeah.
Stevens, obviously, with the physicality. Niedermeyer and Brofalski with their smarts and their speed and their skill. And Ken Danico was just a, you know, his presence alone. They're all different. You can't have a bunch of just say, oh, I'm going to get some smaller skilled defensemen. That's not going to work if they're all like that.
I mean, especially in a seven-game series, you're seeing it in a Nashville Anaheim. every time these guys go back and get the puck, they're getting plastered against the boards. And
right.
I think nowadays, I mean, you're seeing it with Pittsburgh. You need 10 good defensemen in your system to go all the way. Because with the way injuries are happening and the schedule playing almost every other night, guys are in and out of the lineup, and you got to depend on. I mean, I think Pittsburgh went through almost 10 defensemen last year.
Yeah, they did. Carlo Quagliacomo in studio. Ryan Johansson done for the playoffs. How does that affect how you feel about Nashville and their chances?
Yeah, I heard that on the way in, and all I could say to myself is, oh, God. That is
the old Sam Rosen.
That is a huge loss for that team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a supporting cast around him with Forsberg and who's that little man?
They got Arvidsson and Neil.
You need Fisher to step up and start.
Yeah, but can he though? Now you're talking about, that's what I talked about. It's not just Johansson going out; it's the, you know, the expectation of the other guys. Like, they're not used to playing against Ryan Kessler and Ryan Getzlaff.
Yeah.
It's a handful.
How good has he been in the playoffs? Getzlaff.
Unbelievable. It looks like Eric Lindros out there.
Unbelievable. The way he can dominate out there.
Mm-hmm. He was great last night.
Yeah.
And he was rattled with those refs, man. Because what's happened now, and we were talking about this earlier, I don't know if you heard it, but the face grab routine has changed the game.
You should see it in Europe.
Must be prevalent all over the place.
10 times
the
worse.
The face wash game?
Why is that, though?
Face wash, the head bob.
Is that because of stick checking, though? Is that because there's more ice and there's more stick checking? It's not as physical? Because that's what I think is happening in the NHL. You can't bear hug a guy anymore. You can't cross check a guy anymore. It's all stick battles.
I think hockey has become a careless game. The fact that guys feel protected, that they could do whatever they want on the ice because there's no instigator, there's no tough guy anymore. Guys are way.
I find the stick work to be vicious.
Did you see that slash Manson?
I watched closely. Neil? Like, being live, they have great like vantage point for the TSN studio is in Ottawa. The stick work I found to be unbelievable.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
Guys are just two-handing guys. That's the new play.
Yeah. You're gonna come near me, I'm gonna two-hand you. Yeah. I can't hit
I'm not
you,
gonna
I'm
hook or hold. That's out of the game. I'm gonna two-hand you.
Right.
And it just doesn't get called.
But what are they gonna do? I mean, it's never going to get to a point where no one does anything.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure after the Mathot finger dangling.
But look who hit him.
I know.
That's the thing. If that was a fourth liner, it would have been a very different story.
But I think, you know what? It might have been the best thing because it brought attention to it.
Because it was Sid.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna take something significant to happen with a stick for people to start making a conversation about. I mean, you look at the whole concussion thing.
Well, what's going to have to happen is Ovi or Sid or Connor McDavid going to get their arm broken, and then it's like, oh, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Well, I think furthermore, though, if we're talking about like high sticking, someone's going to lose an eye or something like that.
Yeah,
like that's what's going to happen.
Mandatory now.
But I don't know. Again, this is the problem that the NHL has put itself in. I understand why they took clutching and grabbing out. I get it. I understand they wanted to open up the ice. They wanted to open up the game. But if you take that away, you're not going to stop players from battling for pucks. You're not going to stop the intensity of a player trying to check. And if he can't grab you anymore, he's going to use a stick.
Yeah.
Like, that's the game now, is trying to lift sticks. Like, Matthews does it really well. Datsyuk was the best at it.
Yeah.
But guys are constantly trying to lift sticks. And as a result, if you miss, you're going to get someone in the face.
I agree.
It's going to happen.
I agree.
But what do you do?
That's a tough call. I mean, what do you do?
You can't tell a guy that he can't battle for a puck.
Yeah.
And now, as a result, because of the battles, guys, like last night, you mentioned Manson hacking Neil. It was a hack, but he got him
vicious
on the arm, but he grabbed his face.
Yeah.
Like, why is he?
That's a soccer move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was instinctually grabbing his
Not
face.
Not anymore. It's now a hockey move.
It's a hockey move. So, like, because that's the truth. Like, hockey fans can take shots at soccer players all they want. Yeah. It's happening in their own game.
Oh, I know.
The face grab to get 2 minutes is here. It is in the National Hockey League.
It should be. I mean, if you're a guy that's here, like, let's look back at Bonino. If you're a guy that draws that penalty and then goes in after the game and watches the video, how do you feel about watching yourself do something like that?
I forget. Was he fined for, like, did they get fined for diving for that?
I don't remember seeing anything on it.
I don't remember seeing anything
either. I don't remember seeing anything.
I'd be embarrassed, you know, and you've earned the right to get chirped if you're a guy caught doing that.
You guys really care, though? Like, but if they started slapping a $5,000 fine on embellishing, would it detract them from doing it?
Well, that's the counter, though. Like you mentioned Bonino. Would it be embarrassing? I would think it would be, but that essentially closed out the game. Yeah. That was it. Like, Oshie went to the penalty box. They were on the power play for the final 50 seconds. It was done. So I'm sure he would counter by saying, okay, I know it's not a good look. I know I'm going to get chirped, but guess who's going back to an Eastern Conference final?
True.
Right, and that is the soccer mentality is, yeah, maybe I don't love it. I don't love the optics of it, but I just drew a yellow card when you didn't even touch me. So I'm probably putting my team in a better position. So you're breaking through the culture, though, right?
So you call that guy smart?
I guess you technically could.
Yeah.
You could call it smart. You could call it greasy. But but it's definitely a calculated move that can work in their benefit. But it also is something that I don't think the refs can ever get away from, because in the moment, how do you really know? Like the Bonino thing, the ref was behind him. How did he know that Oshie didn't get him in the face? Yeah. It looked like he got him in the face.
Well, when a guy embellishes like that. I mean,
exactly. You're naturally going to be. So what are you going to do? Not call high sticks?
Yeah, unless you start throwing challenges at penalties.
I don't want to see that happen.
But then you're slowing the game down even more.
Exactly. I hate challenges to begin with. I hate them. It's the worst.
I think it's gone overboard with the challenges. I mean, there's a way to challenge it and have an answer right away. I mean, there's people back in Toronto that are watching games right on the spot that can make the call like this. You don't need a 10-minute review. I mean, do you?
Well, it's the refs that are reviewing the offsides. They're going there with an iPad. Yeah. I'm with you. Why can't, before they even get there, guy in Toronto is saying, no, I just looked at it. He's fine.
Exactly.
Like, stop wasting time. I totally agree with you.
Do you think that would change your mindset on challenges?
No, I don't like it. I don't like it because I don't think the offside is a focal point for fans in the stands.
True.
Like, who's sitting there watching like a 3-on-2 through the neutral zone and focused on when the guy actually crosses the blue line?
Yeah.
You're focusing on what they're going to do once they're in the zone, what's going to happen at the net. And I just don't like the fact that a team can get the puck over the blue line, create magic, tic-tac-toe, beautiful goal, you go nuts, and then you look back and the guy was offside by a millimeter. Like, what was the? Why would you take that away from the experience of being able to just go through that organically?
Yeah.
Now what's happened is it's a lot like headshots. Because of the focus on headshots and concussions, every big hit, you got to go through the checklist. Did he go off his feet? Did he use his elbow? You know, was it a headshot? As opposed to just being like, that's a great hit. I enjoyed that hit. Now with a goal, you got to go back and be like, was there a guy offside? Was there goaltender interference? I just don't like it from a fan's perspective. I think it ruins the flow of the game if you're viewing it.
One of the worst ones we talked about it was the national championship a couple years ago. It was like the final shot, and then it was like, hang on a sec.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see if that was good.
And it was blatantly good.
Yeah.
It was just a complete waste of time. And you're right. It sucked the life out of the building and even watching it at home. The guy hit a miracle shot to win March Madness, but you had to wait 3 minutes.
Yeah, true.
You know, and it just, if you're a fan, like, ultimately it's entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't think fans really care that much about offside. I really don't.
I agree with you. Unless it's blatant. Mm-hmm. Like,
but they're going to call that anyway, though, Carl.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
You've got to have human error part of the sport. And especially when, I mean, I agree with the goaltender interference, because you're helping a chance of a goal that shouldn't have gone in get called back, but the offside, let's throw it out.
Don't you get the impression, though, with goaltender interference, you still think they get it wrong half the time? Because I do.
Yeah.
I still think they get it wrong
half
the time.
There's an argument there, for
sure. You know? Like, I understand what you're saying. You're talking about the biggest moment in the game. This is a scoring chance, and you're directly either impeding it or allowing for it to happen. I get the argument around goaltender interference, but I don't think they get it right half the time anyway, so I'm sitting there saying, what's the point of wasting time? Just go with the original call, because chances are you're going to screw it up once you look at it.
That's a good point.
That's happened way too often for me. Anyway, you think the goaltending matters tonight? Matt Murray in for Marc-Andre Fleury. Is that where your focus is at?
That's a tough call to make. I mean, I had Fleury. If Pittsburgh is going to win the Stanley Cup, he's my Conn Smythe winner for that team.
It's crazy.
And now the team has a bad game and you decide to take him out. I think I would have given him this game, see how he played. If things went well, you stick with him. If things didn't go well, you're down 3-1. And you know what? You've got nothing to lose putting Murray in. Now, what do you do if you lose?
What if Murray gets shelled tonight?
Yeah. Now you've created a controversy for no reason. Mm-hmm. I think since day one of the playoffs, Murray got hurt. Fleury took the reins, and he's been outstanding. And now you basically told him everything you've done up to this point doesn't really matter because we're going with the other guy. I don't agree with it.
They got to find a way to score goals, though.
You what?
I love the idea. I just think that you know what this business is
about. Oh, of course it is. It's all about winning.
Yeah, it's about winning, and it's not about anybody's feelings. It's just the coach made a gut move that he thought that this guy was going to give him the best chance to win. I think Murray's always been his guy.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that.
And he was, they were just waiting for Fleury to have one of those games, and I kind of knew it was coming the other night. And they yanked him.
You did. You called it. You called the blowout for Ottawa.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You called 5-0. So, yeah, you can focus on the 5, but how about the 0 from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
They don't score.
I know. Well, so they scored 1.
They scored 1, but they have 4 goals in 3 games. Like, if Murray can stand on his head and give up 2 tonight, 2 on 40 shots, he'd take that, right? But if they only score 1, what does it matter who's in net?
Yeah.
Well, they're either running out of gas or that depleted decor just cannot get them the puck right now because they're not generating. It's like they're one and done. They're not really cycling. It's just,
I think tonight's game, the importance of the first goal means so much. Because if Ottawa gets it,
we'll steamroll them again.
Good luck getting through that trap in the neutral zone for 50-plus minutes. Or whatever it is.
And that building will be hopping, too.
Oh, you should have seen them the other night. They got that. They got 4 in a row, and it was like, it was a 5. It wasn't a 1 anything. It was just 5 back.
And they knew it. They had it, right? It was over.
They did the, you know, remember in Tampa where Chris Pronger was holding on to the puck, and he was like, this is a joke. This is not, they were close.
Yeah.
They're not going to complain about it. Doesn't matter how you play if you win right now.
Listen, in playoffs, you do whatever you got to do to win.
Right.
And who cares what other people think?
We got Carlo Koliakvo in here, your former teammate.
Brought
us T-shirts.
We love them.
We love them.
I'm glad.
This is just such a brilliant T-shirt, too.
It's bar tee. It's a bar tee.
Did you wear that to the bar?
I am.
You're going up. Where, you going up north this weekend?
That's very personal, buddy.
All right. Well, whatever you're doing this weekend.
I'll bring my T-shirt.
Will you bring that shirt out?
And I'll wear it out.
All right, man. I'll do the same.
Nice.
I'll do the same.
You're going out tomorrow night.
I'm going out tomorrow night.
IKEA.
I got the hall pass. I'm hitting IKEA first. Nice. Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Not after that, yeah.
If we do, we'll see what happens. All right, Carlo's in here. Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to PVR the show on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes. Carlo Koliakovo's in here. We'll get to our future headlines in a moment. Jays in Baltimore tonight. Jose Bautista, I mean, he took that fastball like a champ. He just took it and walked down first. He said, all right, I'll take my base. You guys have all been in front of bombs from the point, I would assume. Like, you've all blocked shots. Would you rather block a shot from Zdeno?
Oh, because you were the best shot blocker. Don't even kid yourself.
What would you rather do, though? Block a shot from Chara or take a fastball anywhere in your body outside of the head? You don't know where it's going to hit you. You know it's not going to get you in the head.
Well, hockey, you're wearing equipment, so I think that you have a better chance of not getting hurt.
I'll take a Chara shot off the shin pad.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Me too. I'd rather that over taking a fastball. I would.
Yeah.
Like a fastball, that is like that thing was going 94 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Hit him in the leg.
Have you played baseball before?
Yeah.
Like,
growing up.
I played in a hardball league before.
Mm-hmm. Same as a kid.
Up, and I got beamed in the back once, the fastball. It's not fun.
Did you drop?
Of course.
Of course. You probably missed 2 months.
Three. I actually quit baseball.
Yeah, you're done. You're on the lifetime DL. I'm out of here, and I'm never returning. Yeah, I think I would block a shot, but that's dangerous too, man. Like, because that thing can go faster. Like, Chara's bomb would go 104, 105.
Yeah.
Right, wouldn't you say? Like, one timer if he really got behind one?
The one thing I don't understand is when guys block shots and they turn around to block them. It's like, guys, you got no padding in your back. All your padding's in your front. Why are you?
What about the guys that, like, they'll go face first?
Face first. Like, that's just like, nuts.
You're honestly, if one catches you right in the face, you're dead.
The old Happy Gilmore shot like blocker.
You slide across and an Al MacInnis slap shot hits you in the face, you're dead.
Dead.
Yeah, I know. It's happened. It has happened before, though. Guys will block a shot with their face.
Ian LaPerriere.
Did it happen to him?
Yeah.
Did he try to kill the rest of the penalty, too? It's always on a PK. It's always a fourth-line guy.
I think it was on a penalty. Actually, I reminisced that moment with him when my time in Philly. And he told me he finished the game. I was like, what? He went in, got stitched up, and finished the game. You can obviously tell that concussions weren't a big deal back then.
That wasn't on the radar.
No.
Yeah, because those memes are out there all the time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Where it's like hockey players block shots with their face, and it's just a shot of some guy like diving and taking one
off the
teeth.
Happened this year in a Columbus game. Didn't that Calvert
block
a shot?
He did take it off the face.
And he scored a hat trick that.
He kept playing.
Yeah, and he scored a hat trick that
You're
game.
Right.
And
I think
he did the interview after the game, and he was like this. Like.
Yeah, you're right. That was Matt Calvert, I think. And he did have like a massive night. It wasn't even the biggest story of the game.
He had a game winner.
That's what it was. Yeah, I think he did have a hat trick and the game winner.
Yeah.
Two stories bigger than blocking a shot with your face.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys ready for future headlines?
Let's do it.
Austin Matthews, 4 goals. Do you believe this?
Or.
Shifts were too long. Got caught out there, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net.
Or.
Patterson with the electrifying throwdown.
Or.
Everybody wants to get paid, and I'm one of those guys included.
Overdrive, future headlines.
Future headlines brought to you by our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 or text us 105050, your most outrageous future headline every Friday for your chance to win free pizza. Courtesy of 2-for-1 Pizza, and we can speak from our own experience. Free pizza from 2-for-1 Pizza is a beautiful thing.
You guys understand how this works, right? Couple options for a headline. You got to pick which one you think. It's not that hard. The Cavs and Warriors remain undefeated as the weekend action passes without any drama. Or the Spurs and Celtics both steal games at home, opening the door to lengthy series. I'll start with this. Not happening.
Sweep.
You think both are going to be a sweep?
Yeah, I mean, there's man playing with boys is what those two teams are, you know.
How embarrassing is this for the NBA?
Super embarrassing.
Like, it just
Dude, did you lay any money down on that basketball game the other night? The line was 13. I thought to myself, I don't bet, but once in a while I'll see something like that. I'm like, you got to put money on that.
Without Kawhi Leonard in the lineup?
Yes.
Like, if you didn't watch game one and see what happened when he got hurt and left the game, up by 25 and ended up losing the game, you'd have to think to yourself, they had no chance of winning game two.
Golden State 13, won by 36.
Yeah. I should have dumped five grand on that.
They almost tripled the line, and that was such a sneaky line because it was a...
What do I win if I bet $5,000?
At minus 13 and a half?
Well, yeah, if you're just playing the spread, you would have doubled your money, essentially. I don't know, maybe there would have been some juice one way or the other, but... You would have been basically doubling your cash. And it's like Vegas is great at that because it's just enough points where you think, I got to give some credit to San Antonio. I mean, do I think they can keep it within 13? Yeah. Like it happens every year when the Pats play like the Browns.
The little backdoor action
yeah.
at the end of the game.
It's like
the
minus.
Meaningless touchdown.
And sometimes they grease you, right?
Yeah.
But Vegas, even when they place that line, they're like, this team is going to crush.
Yeah.
This other team. I'm with you guys. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The fact that LeBron keeps pursuing the greatest of all time title, that drags me into the game just to see how he's going to perform. But I'm thinking, even though earlier in the week I was like, I think San Antonio will get one. I think Boston will get one. They're not going to each get one this weekend. It's not going to happen.
No.
So, Cavs and Warriors keep winning.
The Kessel and Phaneuf feud elevates to a new level as the former teammates drop the gloves. Or Dion takes it easy on Phil and Kessel makes him pay for it on the score sheet.
I don't know about you guys, but I would love to see a Kessel-Phaneuf fight.
Wouldn't it be outstanding?
That would give you guys a week worth of stuff to talk about.
I can't think of another fight I'd rather watch.
Yeah.
Like, including Mayweather, McGregor. There's not another fight I would rather see than Kessel Phaneuf.
You think this should be the headline at UFC?
Yes.
Kessel Phaneuf.
Imagine Dion coming in, Phil's in a romper walking into the cage. And this, like, O thinks Phil's sneaky tough and could maybe beat up Dion. I don't see that happening.
I agree with him,
man.
To the ground.
I agree with him. I think he's sneaky tough.
You think Phil can throw a couple of haymakers?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to fight. So, but I also don't think Dion's going to take it easy on him. But I'll go with Dion's going to take it a little bit easier on him. Phil's going to make him pay. I think Phil's going to break out here at some point. I don't think they're going to fight.
You guys,
I think if it gets out of hand tonight, I think they could fight.
That's right. We've got the Phil shirts on. You think if it gets carried away, Ottawa up big, and Dion lays out Phil, Phil might get up and drop the gloves?
If it's for real.
See, I don't think it is for real.
There's a part of me that doesn't think it is either. It's all a joke to them. Like, he did knock him on his ass, and they are slashing each other, but I still don't think it's real. There's something about it. I don't...
Although, remember Aginla and Phaneuf almost fought at the ACC a few years ago?
Yeah.
And they're buddies, and some people were thinking that was staged. It wasn't staged. The ref just got involved. Don't do that, ref. If these two are going to fight, get the hell out of the way.
Kevin Pillar returns to the Jays lineup and doesn't miss a beat, returning to pre-suspension form. Or the self-inflicted controversy hangs over Pillar as he struggles in his return to the lineup.
I'm a little concerned about where this guy's headspace is going to be at.
I think there's an embarrassment factor where it's like you're going up to bat and everybody knows you're that guy that did that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hear it from the crowd.
Are they playing Baltimore?
They're in Baltimore.
They're ruthless there too.
Right. Like he'll play two games, presuming he returns to the lineup, and he will.
Yeah.
Two games on the road after this incident where everyone knows what he did, what he said. It's all self-inflicted. He's the one that has to pay the price. He put himself in that position, but yeah. I kind of think he's going to come out of the gate a bit slow. It wouldn't shock me at all if this kind of threw his season off a little bit.
I wonder what his reception's going to be like his first game back here.
That'll be really interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually. I mean, he was very emotional when he admitted to it, and I think it – I mean, he even admitted he didn't sleep the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to struggle a little bit.
I think he might get booed a bit in Toronto. It wouldn't surprise me if he got booed a little bit. And that might be even more daunting for him. Like, to have to deal with that. Yeah, you expect it on the road. You know you're going to get it on the road. But I'm sure he's hoping he can come home and he can move on from this really quickly. If he returns and some people boo him, he'll realize the extent of this story in Toronto, because they've been on the road. He's probably aware of it to an extent, but everyone in the city was talking about it yesterday. It was the biggest story in the city by a mile.
I think too, the fact that he is on the road, he's not answering it every day, and these people haven't had their shot at him yet. So when he comes home, he's gonna, after 4 or 5 days of it being behind him, he's gonna be reminded of it again,
right?
Because everybody here is gonna want to ask him about it. And you know, are you gonna allow the guy to move on from it or not?
Well, what you're gonna get too is you're gonna get the journalist who generally covers other news show up.
The outrage is going to be...
I don't think it's over anytime soon.
The Jays' longstanding rivalry with the Orioles heats up over the weekend as the Jays find themselves back in the middle of a bad blood series. Oh, a little wordy there from the secretary. Or not even the Orioles can trigger another gong show series out of the Jays.
Are you okay?
As the focus stays on the importance of winning games, the secretary.
Secretary thought you could read.
Well, dude, learn how to write.
I don't think anything's going to happen.
My God.
I think the Jays are moving on here. They hate Baltimore. Baltimore hates them. I'm not saying it's an impossibility to believe it could happen.
Try to read that. The one word you're looking for here is flow.
The Jays' longstanding rivalry with the Orioles heats up over the weekend as Toronto finds themselves back in the middle of a bad blood series. Or not even the Orioles can trigger another gong show series out of the Jays as the focus stays on the importance of winning games.
There's no flow. Wow. There's no flow.
I have an idea.
That was pretty good. That was pretty solid.
There's no flow.
Well, I don't think anything's going to happen this weekend. I think the Jays, they're over it. They got to start winning ball games.
I think both teams have hotheads. You know, Jose Bautista and Manny Machado.
There's going to be some gong
shows. If any one of those guys hits a home run or has a bat flip, something's going to happen.
You think
or
so?
Or gets hit.
I'm not saying I'm against bad blood. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I said this the other day.
Now we got bad blood.
Embrace it, man. Embrace the chaos. The Jays are hated league-wide anyway. And really? So is Baltimore.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They got so many guys in the DL. They got to win ball games.
Dude,
they just
the hell
had a spicy
your buddy
meatball.
Make these shirts out of them. Like, I've never I had a sweatshirt on before I had this thing on. I could crawl through a fire and save people with this thing on.
If thick.
Are you not hot?
I'm a little toasty, but I like the shirt so much.
I think you've got to change the tanning bulbs in here, though.
I know. It's way too aggressive.
It's the hottest t-shirt you can ever wear.
I like it, though.
I love it. It's a bar tee.
It's absolutely an ice-breaking t-shirt. Although, I don't know if women would get it or...
Just think of all the Phil Kessel lovers in Toronto. See you guys out with those shirts on?
Yeah.
You guys are drinking free for the whole night.
You're probably right.
Dude, do you know what it's like going out with me and this guy?
No.
We have to talk shop with dudes, man dudes. Like,
man
we have
dudes.
Never had a girl come up to us and say, you the guys are the ones on TV or radio or whatever. Never. Ever, ever, ever.
Well, we had one lady ask if we wanted to have her come and, like, put our IKEA furniture together.
Really?
We were talking about that. I'm going to IKEA tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which will be a disaster at like 10 in the morning on a Saturday on a long weekend. And we're saying how, like, we don't know what we're doing.
Why do you have
to go?
Because I got to help out.
Why do you have to go?
What do you mean, why do I have to go?
You're not going to pick anything anyway.
Yeah, but you got to be there to help load it into the car. You got to pick stuff. You have to be involved in the process. It's a whole routine.
You make a very good point there, though.
For anything. It's like, why me? Why do I have to go?
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, but it probably makes sense. Like, I'm going out tomorrow night, so go and do that kind of stuff during the day. We're going to have the kid with us. Although, I guess I could stay home with the kid.
Bonus.
That might be the move. That might be the move. I'll look into it. But I think it was Kate who tweeted earlier saying she knows what she's doing when it comes to putting stuff together. And
I heard pays really good for people to put their IKEA stuff together.
I told you, I would pay $2,500 for someone to put together a $7 chair because I'm not doing that crap.
Someone tweeted in earlier, too, how you just, like, the bartering got out of control immediately. I said I'd pay, like, $500. You're like, no, $2,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so I guess it's $2,000. If anyone wants to work with us, you set the price, $2,000. You want to help a boy out? $2,000. Anyway, future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza.
I'm
good work.
I'm fading, man. I'm dying. I was so good at the beginning. I'm crushed.
Is it the shirt?
I don't know. It's the pizza, the shirt. I was so jacked up. I'm like, it's just me and Hayes today. I got to be good. I can't float. And I just died. I'm dying.
I think you've been all right. I don't think. Have you picked up on anything?
No, man. I'm having a blast.
Yeah. You got the shirt on, the long weekend's ahead of you.
You're going
hiking. You know what Steph called me today? She was like, you know, I thought you were good yesterday. And I'm like, thanks. I'm like, aren't I always kind of like good? And she's like, no. She called me the Serrano of the radio show. It's either like out of the park or swing and miss the curve.
Pedro Serrano,
yes.
Cleveland Indians.
I am the Pedro Serrano of Overdrive, where it's like fastball gone, any kind of change up or curve,
you're toast.
You need hot spots.
Very inconsistent.
She's got to get you one of his.
I'm
like,
very inconsistent.
Buddha dolls. What did he call his Buddha doll?
Yeah, Jobu.
Jobu. Yeah. Get you a Jobu.
We should have a little Jobu right in front of your seat. Put a little pipe in there, some rum.
I like when the old guy, the pitcher walks by, he's like, I wouldn't leave that rum around here with this group. That old bastard.
He's not wrong, man. He's not wrong. Pucks and Beer tweeting in saying, IKEA on a Saturday is the equivalent in terms of stress as running a 10K.
I got one worse. Costco. Dude, think about a Costco tomorrow with, like, people opening up cottages and summer homes.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Dude.
Right now at Costco.
Oh.
Right now at the Costco in, like, Barrie up the 400.
You couldn't pay me.
It would honestly be hell on
earth. It would
take me $5,000. I can't believe you agreed to that.
Going to IKEA?
Yeah, like.
I know.
Long weekend?
No, we're going, man. I'm Mr. Family.
You're doing a Costco, too?
I might mix in a Costco. A Costco IKEA just to see if I survive.
Wow.
Just for show material. All right, we'll get to our best bets. 3 stars recap in afternoon. Tee up a busy long weekend as well. Carlo Koliakovo's in here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. under the number in the Jays game. I'm on the Yankees and the Dodgers tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 65. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine. Get way into the game.
You're in a, you kind of like the odd bet. Have you ever like listened to his best bets?
Yeah.
And what do you think of them? Garbage?
Be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's your history? How have you done?
I hit winners.
Yeah. Well, then.
I hit winners. It's funny. No one mentions anything when I hit winners.
You sound like such a gambler saying that. Nobody mentions the one time I get a winner.
Well, I don't go Floyd Mayweather and brag about the winners because I understand if I do that, you have to amplify the losers, right?
True.
Sometimes you go for three. Sometimes you run on a cooler or whatever. But every once in a while, I get hot. And when the iron strikes, man. Get your money down, all right?
I've been in those positions.
You've been to Vegas before. Have you been to Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
You think hockey will work in Vegas?
Absolutely.
You do?
You?
No.
No.
Why?
Did you want to go to a hockey game when you were in Vegas?
No, but maybe other people will. I look at it as a business.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were in Vegas with your buddies and it was not the – like, are you one of those guys like I am where you still always follow the Leafs and you kind of check in with them or you don't care about them anymore?
No, yeah, I check in with them. Of course, yeah.
So if it was anybody other than the Leafs that were in Vegas while you – like in a couple years when you finished playing hockey and you were in Vegas, if it was like the Rangers versus Minnesota – or Vegas, obviously, would you go? I'd only go if it was the Leafs.
Exactly. If you're there anyway, there's no
look
way.
I look at it differently. If you've got 5 days to spend in Vegas.
Who goes to Vegas for 5 days?
I did for my bachelor party.
Okay, well, you're in a different world then.
That was a bad mistake.
No kidding.
But, I mean, you look at it this way. I mean, if the game starts at 7 o'clock, from 7 till 9:30, I'm doing something, and then there gives you something else to do after that.
And that's Noodles' point. There's so much entertainment and there's so many hours in the day you're up anyway.
Exactly.
It gives you something different to do. This hour of Mailin' and Friday has been brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Why not grab our new Old Tomorrow Honey Ginger Shandy for a zesty and refreshing beer cocktail available exclusively at the LCBO? I think that's precisely what I'll be doing tonight. I'm going to need it tomorrow if I go to IKEA and need like a case if I do IKEA and Costco. That's my Saturday. We'll see what's up. Long weekend ahead of us. We're off on Monday. Enjoy that. Carlo, good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for popping in again, man.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man.
We'll keep bugging you. We'll keep getting you in here. If you're willing to pop by, door's always open for you. It's our main man.
Sit next to this guy anytime.
There he is, the big guy. No more Phil Kessel shirt. Thanks for bringing the shirts, too.
My pleasure. Glad you guys like
them. Carlo Colaiacqua. We're out of here. Enjoy your long weekend. We're back Tuesday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.